Hello and welcome to another episode of the Auto Trader Podcast. My name is Wandile Lesishi.
And I'm George Mini. And today we're going to talk about a couple of things as we head to the end of 2022. So Wandy, I believe you want to talk about the fact that Red Bull is getting Ricciardo back.
Yeah, he's coming home, yeah.
Yeah, let's get into that just now. And then five ways to make your fuel last longer. Well, you know, quick answer to that would be just don't drive, but, you know, we can get into the five. And then I believe you've had an airport parking problem lately. And
I have, but we'll talk through it, yeah.
Definitely. And then the annual Auto Trader SA Electric Car Challenge, which was so exciting to be part of.
Yeah, I'm kind of jealous that you got to do that without me again. I begged you last year, but it's okay. We'll talk about what happened.
This memo never reached me.
It was right here.
Was it? Right. Was it recorded?
It might have been recorded.
Oh, damn.
It could have been off the air, but it might have been recorded. But yeah, so moving on to the first story that you mentioned. So F1 News, Daniel Ricciardo is coming back to Red Bull as a third and test driver. So the third driver if somebody gets sick, and as a test driver to make sure that, you know, on the simulator everything's working.
So let's talk about Daniel Ricciardo for a second.
Yeah.
Like, everybody seems to be really disappointed in the guy. And that's why he's lost his seat.
Disappointed? Okay, for who's all everyone?
Well, it looks like Sky. It looks like Sky News. You know,
media, essentially.
The media, you know, disappointed in his performance.
Yeah.
They like him. I mean, Daniel Ricciardo is probably one of the most likable drivers.
For sure.
Besides.
Lando
Norris.
Yeah, Lando's. Yes. Well, that's the problem. I think that's why Sky Sports has been harsh on him, is because his teammate is Lando.
Yeah.
And he's done so much worse than Lando.
In Lando, yeah.
Ultimately, we can only, you know, that's the best benchmark to see how a driver's done, is how worse or better they've done.
And Lando's a newbie.
Yeah.
Yeah. And less Lando's doing better than him.
Exactly.
Oh, Lando's I'm like, I used to be a Schumacher nut.
Yeah.
When Schumacher was still around. And I'm more and more liking Lando Norris. Like, just his attitude and his.
Yeah.
You know, his quirkiness. Anyway, but on to Daniel Ricciardo.
So anyways, if you don't know this, Daniel Ricciardo is an Australian driver. So he used to drive for Red Bull between the year of 2014 and I think 2018. Mm-hmm. And he grew up kind of in the ranks in that. But everybody knows Red Bull's kind of, you know, their history with rotating drivers between the two teams. It's very, very cutthroat.
Yes. Was Ricciardo ever in the second team?
I don't think so. No, I think he went straight. But he was, you know, he went through the ranks of the team ultimately.
Because he thought he was the challenger to Max Verstappen at the time.
I mean, we all believed it, right?
I think that's one of the reasons he left, because he left out of his own accord, didn't he?
Yeah, he kind of was sick and tired of playing second fiddle.
You think? Dumb move, right?
Well, it depends. So here's what I'm saying. After he left, he became the second highest paid driver on the grid.
No.
Mm-hmm.
From McLaren.
When he moved to Renault, his first stint, he was the second highest paid driver on the grid. So,
but now he's the no pay driver.
And now he's, well, I mean, considering it's better than unemployment, I think is, you know, that's, you know.
Yeah, I know. He doesn't have the unemployment problem.
Exactly. So I think from.
No, but in terms of winning world championships, look at the car now.
Yes. So that's what a lot of people are saying, is like, wow, you should have just
stuck it out. Sucked it up to Max Verstappen, unfortunately.
There are a little bit of rumors and kind of conspiracy theories that because of Perez and how he's kind of, you know, showing
his attitude,
his nails and his teeth, that they're like,
Ricciardo, you know, come back.
Ricciardo, come back. But that's just a theory.
I'm hoping so. I like Daniel Ricciardo. And maybe the car and the driver have to be in sync. Maybe. You know, because he's complained the whole year about McLaren and him just not feeling it.
The car, correct.
Yes.
And I think that's a large part. I think the McLaren car was kind of geared towards, like Lando, it was, you know, tuned for him. The same way that the Red Bull is tuned for Max. But the nice thing is, you know, Danny does know Max's driving style. He knows kind of the team dynamic and the culture there. So is it called assimilating when you
assimilating
to the team again will be pretty easy for him. A smooth thing to do.
No, I reckon he'll enter the team quite easily. Yeah. I mean, there might be a couple of kind of you know, leadership things he may have to do.
Yeah,
because he left out of his own accord.
Yeah,
and you know, and
can't expect to be
you know, when you come back, you have to kind of like, okay, I'm sorry, guys, I shouldn't have left.
Yeah.
You know, so I think he'll do those things. He's a gregarious, nice guy.
He is a nice guy. I think he's eaten humble pie. You know, he's eaten humble pie. So, you know, it's all good now, you know. Just we'll sweep it under the rug, I think, is what Helmut's going to do. Oh, another thing of this in F1 season. So obviously the season's over, so we don't have much to talk about. But Logan Sargeant's coming into F1. Logan Sargeant's going to the Williams team. He's an American driver. I think that's a very strategic mode.
Yeah, I don't know if Americans know how to drive.
I think it's more of a advertising thing. Williams need the money. They need attention. The American market's growing. It's huge as well. So it makes a lot of sense.
Americans know how to drive around an oval.
It's, you know.
Because they got that what?
The NASCAR.
NASCAR.
Mm. They do have Indy as well, Indy 500.
So is he going to expect tracks that are only turning to the left?
He's an F1 driver. So, so I think he knows how to turn right.
I'm just kidding.
I think he's practiced the right-hand side as well. Moving on. So like you mentioned.
So he's going to be overtaken in all the right-hand corners.
He's going to be extra good in the left-hand corners.
But extra good in the left-hand corners.
Exactly. So you mentioned that we're decelerating into, well, the year's ending now. I think when this show comes out, it's going to be just about December. So I think it's important to talk about 5 new ways to make your fuel last longer.
This is going to be interesting.
Many times, but what is your take on, you know, the every single cost-saving technique of, well, fuel-saving technique that you've heard of? What's your favorite? Do you debunk them all?
So I think, you know, I think if you drive every day,
yeah,
the best thing you can do is practice using the brakes less. Now, don't crash. It's not a recipe for crashing.
A lot of people will be like, wow, George told me not to brake.
Use the brakes less.
Yeah, okay.
Because all you're doing is you're turning that burnt fuel that accelerated you to that point into heat and friction on your brake discs. That's all you're doing. You're wasting fuel by braking. So anticipate the slowdown of the car, the traffic lights, cars in front of you. Like, use as much of the car's coasting ability. I think that's the best, the best thing you can do for fuel saving is try and not use the brakes. And I don't mean don't use the brakes. I mean let the car coast more. Anticipate stops.
So that's with regards to slowing down. Do you think kind of random question, do you think slipstreaming is a thing that...
This is not an F1 race.
Do you think getting a slipstream behind a car when accelerating can help you save fuel? To a certain degree.
I think that there are so many cars on highways, because the only way that that's going to be beneficial is on a freeway, right? Your slipstream's not going to work in town driving. You're doing 30, 40 k's an hour. You have to be moving, right? So at 120...
Yeah.
If you're the only car on the road and there's another car, I would say yes. If you're right on the bumper of that car.
If you're in a BMW, then get right behind.
If you're right on the bump, which I wouldn't suggest, because you're supposed to have two cars following distance.
100%.
So at two cars following distance, which is the real right way to do it, okay, not right on the bumper, you're not going to really have a slipstream effect.
The government, they're always trying to ruin, you know.
What, slipstreaming?
Yes, they ruin everything.
You know, when I used to be a cyclist, right? Slipstreaming was the thing.
Yeah.
And it really does work.
Yeah. I've seen videos of people like...
It really does work.
Blanking on their bicycles.
And yeah.
It apparently works. So the first thing you can do is, or the first... Well, these are 5 new ways. So we've spoken about this a few times. Whenever the petrol price goes up and down, we always talk about fuel saving.
Well, the one thing you can do is drive with the wind all the time.
Drive with the?
With the wind. Don't drive against the wind.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, I guess put a sail on your... Okay, I have to go only this direction.
What is it? We like Logan Sargeant.
Yes.
You know, it's like turning
stick
one
to
way.
Your strength, yeah,
stick to your strengths. When it's a windy day, drive with the wind.
What if you have to go the other way? So the first thing is don't fill up to 100%. So this one was new to me. I didn't know this. But apparently, don't fill up your fuel tank more than halfway is a great way to save fuel.
Well, I think two things there, and that is the weight of the fuel, right?
Oh, I didn't think about that.
The less fuel you got in the car, the lighter the car is, the more fuel efficient it's going to be. It's a fact. You know, 60 liters is 60 kilograms. It's one whole human.
Yeah.
In your car.
Hey, that's... But, okay. But I've heard that if you have more fuel, it burns a bit slower. That makes sense. I know that sounds insane, but is there any...
I doubt that. I really, okay. Not with today's sophisticated engines with injectors. And
yeah, they timed it perfectly.
They timed
like
it perfectly.
Exactly how much
there's no way.
There,
I don't think. Maybe in the old carburetor days where it used, you know, it used gravity as well as, you know, the air pressure and stuff. And there were mechanical fuel pumps in those days as well. So, but you probably have some pressure from the tank that increased the amount of fuel if your car was full. You know, so I would imagine that there would be an effect on the carbureted version of a car, but not in today's world.
To be fair, it was like my uncle who is not, you know, the most sane person now who told me this. So you never know. Hi, uncle.
Don't fill your car up 100%.
Don't fill up your... Well, he says if you fill it up more, you'll save more, but, you know.
No.
Apparently not. That's not
I doubt it. I think the weight the weight out does everything.
Sure.
Yeah. Look at the F1 cars.
Yeah,
they time the weight to...
150 to the T, and they know that extra liter...
It's going
to
do them a tenth of a second.
Exactly. Next one is engage cruise control. So, I don't know if you use cruise control a lot.
I do.
But if you do use cruise control, especially when you're on a level road, that's...
I use it a lot in my EV.
Yeah. Is there any difference to when you use it on a normal...
Well, I don't know in the EV, but I know in an ICE or internal combustion engine vehicle, engaging cruise control was rumored to actually use more fuel because when you go up a hill, the car's trying to stick to the speed that you set it at.
Mm-mm.
So it's going to put its foot flat on the accelerator.
Yeah, it's revving a lot more, yeah.
So I would imagine it's probably a little bit of swings and roundabouts. I would imagine there's hardly any effect.
Well, part of this is to make sure, well, they say that you'll save fuel if you aren't on a straight level road.
Straight
that's
level
where
road,
you'll
exactly.
Get a lot of so to yes. your points, that's the case.
Because your foot's not undulating on the on the pedal.
Exactly. Number two, keep your windows closed. So
definitely.
I've started doing this one quite often.
Why, did you drive with your windows open?
I used to always drive my windows open. You have to. People have to know.
Like a Hamilton driver.
Exactly. So I've been trying this one out a lot, and I'm seeing a little bit of a change because I take the same routes every day, so I can kind of gauge. I think this one here, up to 30% fuel saving.
So that's aerodynamic drag. So if the one thing that saves fuel or even battery in your electric vehicle is going to be weight.
Yeah.
Okay. The other thing, why do you think the BMW iX3 that we're going to get into just now with the electric car challenge, I'm not going to kind of spoil it.
Spoil it, yeah.
But why do you think that car does so well on range?
I have no idea. Has it got to do with aerodynamics?
It's got to do with weight.
Oh, okay.
That car is, to my knowledge, 1.7-ish tons.
Okay.
Okay. Other electric vehicles, my Jaguar I-Pace is almost 2.2 tons. So there is a 300-400 kilogram difference there.
What about the engine in terms of the battery size on the I-Pace versus the iX3? I-Pace, I'm assuming, a little bit bigger.
The iX3 is slightly smaller.
Okay.
But I mean, I think it's like 5 kilowatt hours or something. But
the additional weights.
But it doesn't make up for the additional. They've just made the car lighter.
Mm.
And it shows in the range.
Mm.
It actually shows in the range. So weight's one big thing. And then the other is aerodynamic drag. So what happens when you open up your window?
All the air is going to flow right in and kind of...
Well, you're creating a parachute.
It becomes like a sail.
Yes, it becomes a sail. You know, you're actually stopping the car from moving forward.
Yeah. At speed, I'm assuming that's going to be a lot
worse.
More, obviously, yeah.
Yes, and you get the buffeting as well.
What's buffeting now?
When you open your window and that like... That horrible
that
sound.
Buffeting.
Yes, buffeting. And you open the other window and it goes away.
I've never even tested that out. I'm always alone. I'm always driving alone. So, you know, one window always. The next one is tow instead of towering on top. Pretty simple one. So, you know, instead of putting things on top of your car, I've seen a lot of people do that. Just get a tow your additional pack or your additional luggage and that'll save you a little fuel.
So again, that's aerodynamic drag.
Yeah.
Remember, when you're towing a trailer, first of all, the trailer is supporting the weight of what's in it through its own wheels. Okay, so you have to overcome rolling resistance. So that's negative impact on fuel.
I love it when you do. I love it when you get scientific.
So that's rolling resistance, right?
Yeah.
But the benefit from the aerodynamic drag, which is as the air is flowing over the car, it's flowing over the trailer.
So what's
because the trail is slipstreaming you so exactly. closely.
Yeah, yeah.
So there's no aerodynamic drag on the trail, or very little aerodynamic drag on the trailer, so it's not, unless
it's
you've
not
got
aiding and kind of slowing you down.
Slowing you down. Yeah. Whereas a roof box,
yeah,
is full on aerodynamic drag. You lose the rolling resistance.
Yes.
But I think the aerodynamic drag has a worse effect. That's my opinion.
Rolling resistance, the tires and the ground, essentially.
Yeah.
That resistance is a lot less than having a sail.
Yeah, exactly. Having a box on the roof.
This, the more you know. The last one is don't drive aggressively. I put this one here on purpose.
Well, driving aggressively is accelerating and then braking. So it comes yes. down to the smooth use of an accelerator mm-hmm. and trying to brake less.
A lot of these have a lot of similarities. It's got to do with, once again, two different things, weight and aerodynamics, having some sort of control. And I guess here, there's a new layer that we're adding, which is just don't drive badly. Just don't drive badly.
Just drive smooth. Drive an EV. You'll be quiet and calm.
That's not what I said.
There'll be birds carrying on,
yeah,
just above my fingers.
Just nice and smooth. You can take off and beat the GTI. You know, everybody wins. Moving on, airport parking tips for a hassle-free journey. It is December. People are going to be flying a lot.
Before we get to the airport, sorry.
Yes.
Did you see the GTI outside?
I did see it. The I think it's new Golf R.
R. Yes, the new Golf R.
Yeah.
Well, I mean GTI shape.
Yeah. It's parked next to
my car.
IPS, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I had to ask it to move because it was parked in the EV bay.
Yeah. I did see that. I was like, "What's happening there?"
I needed to charge my car. It's a beautiful car.
I did see it. It is nice.
Still slower than my iPad.
Thoughts on it, but we definitely have a review on it, and I think the journalists will kind of unpack that.
Still slower than my iPad, just saying.
Is it? Oh, load shedding every time.
It'll come back.
It always comes back.
Yeah. Well, my GTI. I don't have a GTI. My iPad is faster than that Golf R. Just saying.
It's allegedly. We'll put it to the. We'll put it on a track and see.
No, last year we did the race.
I mean, this is a Golf R. This is the new Golf R. So you just never know. You never know these things.
Golf R. Golf R. Golf R.
Moving on. Airport parking tips for a hassle-free journey. It is that time of the year. People are going to be, you know, traveling, going to airports. And I have a bone to pick with one of these tips here. But, you know, is there any tips that you want to give to any of the motorists who will be traveling?
It's incredibly expensive to leave a car at the airport.
Yeah, okay. That's actually... Good tip there.
I think it's 100 rand a day.
Yeah.
Well,
that's if you park at the airport facilities. There are like...
There's long-term parking.
Yeah.
No, but then you've got to get somebody to actually drive your car. And I've had my car bumped by those people.
Mm-hmm.
Not my iPace. A couple of cars ago.
Yeah.
I went...
Did they at least pay for the damage? Did you see it?
I didn't, because it was the wing mirror. So the wing mirror had this like, because the wing mirrors were sprayed. In those days, it was an optional extra. The wing mirrors were sprayed white. And the wing mirror was scratched. There was a big like scratch out of it, which means that they obviously park the cars very,
very
tight.
Very close to each other, to squeeze them more, because they have limited space. It's not like they're,
yes.
they're on the place.
Yeah. And my car came back, and only a couple of days later did I see the scratch.
Yeah.
And then I was like, ugh, whatever.
Did you reach out to them?
No.
Because I reached out to them. I parked my car at the airport, and now it sounds like a rant, but I'm just no, I'm doing. I'm gonna
rant. Go for it. just don't mention the company's name.
No, I won't. I parked my car at the airport for a trip that we went to. I think we went to like Cape Town or something, and I come back and it's all dark. It's all dark in the the
bay. Load shedding.
I was just underground parking. As soon as I got out the parking though, I see there's a scratch. Well, not a scratch, but there's a crack in my windshield. I called them immediately as I'm on the drive. I'm like, guys, there's a crack, and you guys didn't mark that it was broken because I checked the little paper thing, and they just refused. They were like, no, you've already driven off. But I was like, I couldn't see because it's dark. So, anyways, so that was my experience.
No, whether it's the same company that I used or not, don't let other people drive your car.
Yeah.
You know, that's the lesson I learned. Don't let other people drive your car.
100%.
It's a nice concierge service. It's it's convenient, all those things.
Cheaper.
You go on holiday, you're nice and relaxed, you're sitting on the beach, you're reading a book, you come back and your car's bumped.
100%. And now it's even more expensive than if you had to.
Gives you stress.
Exactly.
Just, use an Uber or Gautrain or something.
That is the first tip. So make use of Ubers, the Gautrain bus if you're in Gauteng, or any airport shuttles. I've never done it myself, but whenever I'm traveling, I use it a lot, and the convenience that it buys you is so much. It's worth it just from the convenience side. So that's the first tip. Next one is remove your valuables from the car. You never know what's going to happen, so rather just take out everything that might be in there.
I went to a meeting the other day.
Yeah.
And where I went to this meeting, they had CCTV cameras yeah. on the front of the offices,
yes.
monitoring the parking. There's a couple of parking outside the front. So I parked my car there. The person I was having the meeting with says, no, come park in the back. Okay.
Yeah, strange.
So, and I've been there once or twice before.
Mm.
So I go and I park in the back. Like, why don't you park in the back? No. There was a Toyota Fortuna stolen there a couple of days before.
Jeepers. In a private parking bay.
Private parking bay. So he says, come, let's have a look. Have a look on the CCTV.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not lying to you. Under 3 minutes.
Wow.
They got into this Fortuna.
Yeah.
They started it and they drove away. So the first thing they do is they went to the front of the car. They know exactly where the alarm cable is. The siren cable, sorry.
Mm.
And they clip the siren cable.
Mm.
Because the car's alarm is going to go off, right? So they clip the siren cable. And you see him walk around to the passenger side. Now, he was on the passenger side because he knew the CCTV camera was monitoring him. So he went to he broke into the passenger side, opened the door. Then the hazards went off.
How do you break into the car? Do you have like a...
There must be a trick that they used to get through the door. The hazards were going off, which means the car's alarm was going off, right?
That's going to fire
the truck
people, no?
Well, I don't know. But the first trick was cutting the alarm siren.
We can hear it.
You know, so, Toyota should reroute that cable because obviously they're getting through the grill because you could see he was getting through the grill and cut the alarm cable. I mean, the siren cable. Under 3 minutes. Got in the car, drove it away.
Yeah, that's
brand new white Fortuna.
Mm. Next tip is check that you've removed any leftover food. I've done this before. I've left some food inside a car. I wasn't at the airports, but I've left
just food inside. Don't leave food in your car, full stop. It stinks.
Yeah, but if you're in the mall and you have like, let's say you went shopping or something.
There's bins around.
No, you just came back from the grocery store and then you have to go buy a new pair of shoes or something and your groceries in the back, they're going to get cooked.
For sure.
Final answer, it happens. Fourth tip is valet parking is the easiest option if you can afford it. So this is, back to kind of our story that we had earlier. If you can use valet service.
Yeah, they bump your car. Hey.
And they destroy your windscreens. Don't trust them.
I don't know.
It's an option.
I don't know. Use them if you want to, if you think that they're not going to bump your car. But I've had a bad experience. Wendy's had a bad experience. Not so sure.
Yeah, 100% of the people that we've spoken to have had a bad experience.
Love your statistician work.
And the last one is nowhere to go. So this is, very hard to do. Airports are huge these days, especially the Cape Town one. It's so confusing. But if you know kind of where to go, where to park, you could save yourself a little bit of fuel in kind of going around there. Now, before we leave, George, you recently did the electric car challenge, and I don't want to really, I'm not going to try and drive you down a rabbit hole. I just want you to tell us exactly what is the electric car challenge and, why do we do it and what was the findings from this year's one? Because we've done it before.
Yeah, no, we've done it before. So we pioneered this thing as Auto Trader. And our objective here is to test the cars year after year in the same conditions.
Yeah, this is electric cars.
Electric cars, yeah. Only electric cars. In the same conditions. And the reason we want to do this is because, first of all, WLTP, right, which is the range that a car is quoted to have, it's not a lie.
Mm.
Okay, so they actually drive the car for a little bit and then they extrapolate the values and, they get to, it's a mathematical, way to get to the number.
Yeah.
But the thing about WLTP.
And this is the range that's just for context. This is the range that the manufacturers say that
correct
the ranges of the car.
Yes.
Okay.
The thing about WLTP though is it is done under the car's perfect design conditions. Mm. So I'll give you an example. The Jaguar I-Pace, my car, is sported to do anywhere between, I think it's 420 and 460, 70 kilometers or so. Okay. That's its WLTP range. I never get more than 320 kilometers out of the car if I had to kind of go to zero, which I don't. Okay.
Yeah.
350 maybe.
That's the point of never going to zero. You never need yeah. that much range anyways. But
so I get yeah. I get maybe 320 on a long trip on highway driving, 300 kilometers. That's it.
Mm.
It's not going to go more than 300 kilometers. Probably 290.
Mm.
Okay, mm. and on highway fast driving. So there is a difference between the perfect conditions, and what I mean by perfect conditions, it's not only perfect conditions in terms of wind, weather, heat, cold, not those kinds of conditions only, yeah. but also driving condition, the driving, style, yeah. the driving yeah. style, right? So for instance, my Jaguar I-Pace will more than likely do in the 400s, okay, if it's driven at 90 kilometers an hour.
Okay.
But who drives at 90 kilometers an hour on a highway in South Africa?
Yeah, it's nobody.
Hardly anyone.
Yeah.
So we drive the cars at 120 kilometers an hour, constant speed. So last year we did three EVs in 2021, the Jaguar I-Pace, BMW i3, and the Mini Cooper SE.
Yeah.
And we drove them on public roads around Joburg and Pretoria, and then on the Geotech Oval. And it was a massive success. We then calculated the ranges of those cars, and we put the data out to the public. And basically, we're trying to get owners to understand this is how far your EV can go.
Yeah.
In South Africa, hot climate, etc. In 2022, we drove four EVs. On the battery challenge, the Volvo XC40 P8 Recharge, BMW iX3, the Jaguar I-Pace Black, and the Audi e-tron Quattro 55 Advanced.
So basically, we've added new cars because there has been new cars, and it's important to kind of update the results from last year.
Yeah, I mean, the only car that's common between 2021 and 2022 was the Jaguar I-Pace. Now, yeah. it was the later facelift, mm-hmm. which has the new software.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing else that's different on the car except the software, which apparently gets a little bit more battery range, and it did. We could see it. I think my car got 272 or 3 kilometers last year on the oval. This year, I think the I-Pace got. Well, I'm not going to say. Go watch the series.
Sure. So ultimately, we do this so we can answer the question of how far can an EV go. Ultimately, that's kind of...
Yes. So we set the air condition at 21 degrees, which mm-hmm. is normal, and we drive nonstop at 120 kilometers an hour until the car gauge is 10%, because nobody's going to drive below 10%. In the first electric car challenge last year, 2021, we drove it to zero.
Yeah.
And we learned that nobody's going to do that. So there's no point in doing it. So we drove the car to 10%, each car to 10%. And the results are going to be surprising. Go and watch the videos.
100%. So if you want to check out that video, it is currently sitting at, if you just go to YouTube and type in at Autotrader SA, you'll find our YouTube channel there. And all the antics that George and the team were up to is up there.
So it was a lot of fun. It was a hell of a lot of fun.
And there's a special guest this year. So, you know, check it out. It's going to be really fun. Well, it is fun. And find out more about EVs. That's all the time we have for today. No F1, so...
Go Norris.
He had to.
Go Ricardo.